This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
It's a long trip. You want something to drink?
I will set up something hot and dark before y'all mess that up. Sweet Christmas.
Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw.
I'm about sick of always having to buy new clothes.
Man, Luke Cage is a great show, in my opinion.
I'm with it.
Sweet Christmas.
Which show have you liked more this far, Luke Cage or Legion?
Luke Cage.
I did not like the first two episodes of Legion, but it grew on me, and the last couple episodes, I think, have been amazing.
It took until four to do something.
It's gotten better each episode, though.
I felt like what that woman said, the one that lives inside the same body, the girl and man shared, the woman and the man shares, sister and brother shared the same body. When she, before she jumped out that window, she said, "Can I hit something already?" That's how I think a lot of us are feeling watching Legion. It's like, it tricks people because it's so
generic.
Everything is nuances and how pretty it looks and all that. That's the critics off to. Like, you do shit like that, they forget. They forget that there's, you know, that the plot hasn't really moved in like three episodes. Like, they don't care about that because it just looks pretty. It's smart. You just don't understand. Like, it's that kind of shit they do.
Like the OA?
Yes. Yes. it's pretty much like that, where they only give you one clue, like in two, three parts of the show. Like, you watch a whole show and you get Astroplane.
Legion is better than the OA, though.
Oh, it's, well, we haven't gotten to the end
okay.
yet.
That's fine.
If we get an effed up season finale, then it's getting put right in that garbage can at the OA. Feeling slam dancing.
Hashtag dicks and portals.
That's what I'm saying. Gonna go right in a portal, too. Right in a portal. But no, the 100 is my
Yeah, me too. 100 and then Timeless. See, I don't know if you guys watched that.
I don't watch
Timeless. I have to give it to you because I had tapped out because I thought it was just going to be
no
silliness. I had timed out, but when I finally got it, like, kept, I stayed with it. Like, the how accurate they are with history.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much better. Like, I look at that, and then I look at that piece of Legends of Tomorrow.
You're gonna forget that.
That show is terrible.
It is.
And I'm like, I just was like, this is how you could do historical like the real Long Ranger. Like, just the way that they portray the way they cast the people that are playing these characters, they feel like the characters, they look like the characters, they act like the characters. Not some drunken dude you picked up off the set and said, you're Shakespeare, you're George Washington.
Now, this
wig on.
Will Legends be canceled after the season?
It got renewed.
Did it already get renewed?
Yeah, I think it got renewed already. Daryl, you know all this stuff.
They renewed all this DC TV.
They did, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they renewed all of them.
Sheesh. I can do Flash, and I can sort of do Supergirl. Just can't get into the rest of it.
Arrow's got better this season. It had a bad two seasons.
I haven't watched Arrow for a while.
It started good. It wouldn't be a Daredevil if it wasn't for Arrow season one.
Mm-hmm.
All that Netflix going on right now, it's all because of the audience they got with Arrow. That's how that happened.
I just tagged you all on the X-Men new TV show spinoff.
Yeah, they've been. It's gifted. A family. It's not even an X-Men. It's like it's a. It's following
since it's an X-Men movie universe TV spinoff.
What?
Yeah, it follows a family.
It's on Twitter.
Of mutants.
Facebook.
That's not the. This is the one the singer wanted to do, is it?
It just says unlike.
I think it region, is the one that he's going to direct the it, first.
It's
episode.
Spun directly from the movie continuity.
It's called Gifted.
Yep.
Oh,
X-Men. Because
they didn't have a name before, so this is the first time they're throwing the name out.
It sounds
more news I got to post. Interesting.
All right, first impressions. Yeah. The name Gifted is terrible.
Yes.
It sounds like something that should be on like Bravo or something.
Yeah. And I have a feeling it's going to be very slow and be a lot like Legion. That vibe. It's going to be a lot like that vibe in Legion.
Is Legion getting good ratings?
I have not a clue. I know it's critically, it's done well critically, but I don't know about ratings yet.
Wow, 93% Rotten Tomatoes, 8.8 on IMDb. Holy crap.
It's good. I enjoy it, man.
No, I like the show. I hated episode 2, but 1 and 3 were really good. I haven't watched 4 yet. I'm just surprised that the reaction would be that positive.
I think everything after episode 2 has been great.
I just watched 4 with today. The X-Men name thrown on it.
Yeah, I understand but you got to remember, like, I don't talk to lay people. I talk to nerds like you guys.
Right.
So I don't know what normal people watch.
Well, that's true.
If you watch this without having any knowledge of mutants, it would be the same as watching it with knowledge of the mutants. There's no tie-in to anything.
Well,
No. Blink is in this show. I gotta watch it.
Yeah, they cast her.
Jamie Chung.
Yeah. They cast her last week. They cast a couple of people last week.
That's my favorite mutant of all time.
They made up a mutant. They made up one who has like what? I forgot what his power was. Like some
gold
generic.
Gold balls.
Gold balls.
Gold balls.
Better not put that in a show.
He needs his own gold show. Ball. He needs his self-titled show, and Martin has to be forced to watch it.
Oh, start a petition for Trump to burn that.
Hey, me and Ron on the podcast, me and Ronnie have talked a lot about the Inhuman show. What's you guys' opinion of it?
I'm pretty stuck for that.
I'm looking forward to seeing. Listen, I hate the Inhuman comics. I don't give a shit.
You do.
I got Daryl in trouble with Charles Soule.
You got me in trouble with Charles, and I know Charles. That's why I got in trouble.
I had no idea.
So that's why I wasn't naming names. I was just trying to be honest and not name. See, even if it's a friend, I still will be honest about if I like it or not. If I don't like it, I don't like it.
Man, I've been reading his Inhuman stuff from the beginning, and I like it.
I've read it from the beginning too, and I tried. I just can't make myself care about this fucking class.
Hey, it's better than any X-Men, whatever that's come out.
That ain't saying a lot, bro.
when I finish IVX number 4, I'll make sure to say how much I loved it and how much Daryl thinks Charles Soule's a piece of shit.
Exactly. That's what I did
after the conversation.
I don't know. I haven't even read it yet. This show, I don't know. It looks pretty good. You guys seen the set pics, right?
It's good casting so far.
Pictures.
Yeah, it's going to be a short season show, which is probably a smart thing to do with the budget.
Is it?
It's only like 6 or 8, right?
Wow. I think it's about 8. Huh. I think it's about 8 episodes. They just cast a bunch of other people. They actually just cast the royal family, so they're just about done. Yeah. They got Karnak.
It's not going to get the...
cast Karnak?
Yeah, they cast Karnak.
Yeah, they cast Karnak. Yeah.
So it's not going to get the S.H.I.E.L.D. like 55 season episode.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen that way. The guy playing Karnak is the dude. Actually, he's the mutant in the great X-Men 3 movie. The guy, remember the guy that could shoot out like his face had the blades would come out. Like he was an Asian guy and he could like shoot the blades or come out of his body like a porcupine. That's the actor that's going to play Karnak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Really? Yeah. Wasn't he a mutant in...
he was like in S.H.I.E.L.D., wasn't
he? X-Men Evolution. Spike or whatever, right?
It probably, but I don't think they even gave a shit what mutant they were. They were just naming. They were just having people in the movie just to be in the movie and just say, hey, you can do this, you can do that. Well, I'm looking forward. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I think I have a feeling I might like it better on
The dude TV. Playing Gorgon is badass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to look in the cast. I haven't seen the cast since they cast Medusa.
That's the dude from Lost.
Yeah, but he also is the dude that was in X-Men.
Yeah.
Everybody was in Lost at one time.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's what I remember him from, though, the most.
So it's going to be extremely lame if they cast all these actors that everybody's excited about, and then the story just sucks.
Well, hopefully you keep it at 8. You won't have the issue of bullshit episodes. Yeah. Like, you know, lame duck episodes. You don't want too many of those.
You know what I'm worried about? That the CG Lockjaw is going to take up all of the show's budget.
Yeah, I was wondering how they were going to handle that, the whole Lockjaw thing. He shouldn't even be in it.
Dude, he's an integral part of the Inhumans. What do you mean? He's got to be in it.
Yeah, that's how they transport around.
But I mean, pop in, pop out. Like, he shouldn't be hanging out all the time. Like, Lockjaw's thing is he would leave when he wants to. He never had to stay.
He should he should have the same treatment that Shiva has in The Walking Dead. Just here or there for
effect. Yeah, exactly. And that's, I mean, and they said it. I mean, it worked that way in the books that I used to like of the
Inhumans. No, even now he has no
I know he goes in and out. He does, you know, he that's his thing. Like when he knows he's needed, he appears. I mean,
he's a lazy dog when he's not doing anything important. I mean,
right.
What story can you build around that?
So you just have him pop out, and then, you know, you need him to come in, you need to run somewhere, and like, I don't even know what they're gonna do. Like, the first two episodes are going to be a movie, and it's going to be on the IMAX screens. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if they're going to make it that they're in space first, and then they come to Earth for the rest of the episodes, or not. Like, I don't need, like, because you think the first episode is going to be the most expensive because they're going to put it on the IMAX.
On the IMAX, yeah.
Right, so you think they're going to go all out. Like, that'll probably be the most expensive episode that they're going to have.
You're going to have to, because that first episode is going to be
gotta catch make or break.
Yeah.
Are you going to go see it in IMAX?
If I can. I mean, there's not a lot of IMAX movie theaters around me. I have to go into the city.
Where do you live?
I'm in Queens.
And there's no IMAX theater?
There's a bunch of theaters, but not IMAX, though. There's more AMC theaters around me and
I got multiplex. So me sitting in like little old Charlotte, North Carolina has more IMAX theaters around me than you do in New York.
You know how long it took us to get an Alamo?
Dude, you got to remember, there's no room for shit in New York.
Yeah, no, true. Everything is already built.
Yeah.
Closed down, foreclosed, and then built. They built the Alamo on top of the hall. They actually took over the top floor of Albee Square Mall on Fulton Street, and that's where the Alamo is.
Yeah.
It's up there.
You don't have the luxury of the suburban, like, a mass expansion.
No, none of that.
We got that all over the place here.
You got to get in where you fit in.
Why do you think I left New York, dude? Oh man, I tell you, you guys have a good listenership on this podcast. You might lose it all after this episode.
Well, editing. that's why Jack edits this show.
I might edit out all the X-rated stuff right in the middle.
I've been reading Marvel since I was a kid, so I hate more Marvel books than people even read, let alone anything else. So
see, that's why I don't give you any though, because you've read so much of it, you have a right to be angry about it.
Yeah. when I say I'm not digging it, it's not a Marvel thing. It's a
so then thing. Explain this to me, because I like if somebody says Valiant's putting out better quality than Marvel, I get it, because I can read it and see the difference. If somebody says DC's putting out better quality than Marvel, I have a hard time.
Oh, you're crazy. Yes, they are.
I won't even argue that. I will say DC is putting out more books that people are enjoying in terms of the way they've been reviewed and the circulation they've been getting at comic shops. I'll say that.
So is it because I just don't know DC well enough to get it? Because I've read the books that everybody says are the best, at least the big books, not the smaller stuff. And I'm like, it's okay.
Wait, I got to ask you because, you know, it might be time for the mandatory jab at Daryl.
Oh, yeah, got to do that.
Name some of these top books.
Well, Superman, right?
Okay, great book. Yeah, I love that. That's my favorite.
It's your favorite. It's my favorite DC book, too, but I wouldn't say it's near my top, one of my favorite comics.
Okay, well, I mean, how much did you read of it?
I've read all of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm still pulling it. It's on my list.
Damn, oh, you're trying to get that easy jab.
No. I'm just curious. Are you familiar with the stuff that the current story develops on?
The New 52 stuff?
The multiversity stuff?
No.
You wouldn't know that though.
No, I mean that's fine. I was just curious. All right, continue.
I've pulled Wonder Woman since the beginning, which I like. I love Greg Rucka, and I'm enjoying this. Although lately it's gotten kind of boring. Yeah, it's up and down for sure. I was pulling Flash and I dropped it because it wasn't interesting me at all. I had Batman.
Never heard of it. Continue.
Everybody loves Tom King.
And whoa.
And he had a great run with the Vision. I don't even think Batman compares to what he did with Vision.
See, Ronnie's my new best friend.
That's all right. That Batman is selling copies. That's all.
Oh, I don't care.
No, it's getting canceled. It's under 100,000. It's done.
Oh, that's right. It's getting canceled.
Yeah, you forgot, Daryl.
Yeah, that's right. He's getting fired. He's already fired. I forgot.
See, that's my thing about Batman. Like, I could put my name as the writer on that book, and it would sell.
Not the same numbers. No.
Batman's always at the top.
No, that goes down. The numbers go down. When Tony Daniel was on it, it started to go down.
Don't you talk about Tony Daniel now.
I like Tony too, but it did go down. They made a change for a reason.
It did. They ended that book at like a weird ass, what was it, 713, right?
Yeah, because some numbers, the
retailer like, nope, was like, cancel.
The retailer was like, bruh. You cost me money. Like, you can't, you could F up a book like that. You could F up any book. Don't say you can't. The numbers can get below. It all might not get to 30,000, but it'll, when it starts reaching that lower level, you know, under the 70, that's when they start looking at you kind of funny. Mm-hmm. So it's happened. So don't best believe it has happened. It certainly has happened. So.
And remember, too, that all the Diamond sales numbers are based on Batman sales. So
all of them.
Yeah. Well, and I think they assume 100,000 copies, right? Automatically, I think that's right.
Assume?
Yeah, I think they assume. So, like, if your book scores a 1, that means you sold equal to Batman, and I think they assume 100,000 copies. So, like, when Batman does more, it gets I don't want to get into the nerdy number shit of Diamond.
It's a confusing thing.
Yeah, it's weird as hell.
Like, I look at them over shipment. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, it makes my nose bleed when they start doing overship this and overship that. I was like, what the f*** is that?
They already announced the overship for what is it, X-Men Prime, right?
Yeah. I was like, god damn.
So what is the reason they can't get more competition in the like comic distribution market?
Who?
Because Diamond sucks. Diamond sucks.
Diamond does suck.
Diamond they sucks because
once they eliminated the other, they had another distributor at one time back in the day.
Dude, there used to be a bunch of them back in the 80s.
They took it. The monopoly. They killed them. Yeah, that's what happened. They killed them.
I think the last one that was competing with Diamond died in like 94, 95.
Mm-hmm. It couldn't survive the crash.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yep.
So,
dude, there's some crazy ass stories about that time.
Oh, hell yeah,
crazy stories.
It was some wild shit going on during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Very wild shit going on.
And there were some freaking sketchy ass retailers Fudging numbers with the two distribute. Yeah, it was.
Oh, hell yeah. There was a lot of fudging. A lot of crazy fudging going on. And when people, that's why a lot of businesses crashed.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, when it caught up, like, you can't sustain that. A lot of companies were based on that, on the fudging of numbers.
So I'm not going to get to say this very often because I don't talk about Marvel generally, but I genuinely hope that Secret Empire does well for Marvel. I've been talking a little smack, like on Facebook mostly, about Secret Empire being the rebirth for Marvel.
No, that ain't it. That ain't gonna be it.
Well, I know. That generation?
It's already starting off bad.
Yeah.
No, the generation thing. No, you will know when the real reboot stuff is happening. It ain't now. It'll be. They're trying to get ready for that. It ain't happening yet. That
probably
like,
won't be until next.
That's a year from that. It'll be next year.
Another year.
Next fall. Yeah.
I hope it goes well. And not so much for Marvel though, but mostly for shops. Because I know that that's kind of what the publishers look at is shop numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we've got friends that are still seriously hardcore on physical comics. I was for a little while, and now I'm kind of getting away from that again because I'm doing a lot of physical trades, but single issues. I'm doing a lot of floppies now. My DCBS order is getting smaller and smaller, is what I'm saying. So I want shops to succeed, but at the same time, like as a comic reader, it's convenient, you know. And if it helps the publisher sells more, I mean, I don't even know at this point, man. It's tough. I have friends that own shops, so I apologize to those friends.
I do too. I want them to succeed. I do. I don't know how they do it because it is rough. Like dealing with all that shit and incentives, and you got to order this many copies, and it's just I don't know how they do it because my head would explode trying to figure that shit out every month.
From what I read, the Secret, Secret Kingdom, is that what it's called?
Secret Empire.
Yeah. Daryl's going to have to buy a new iPad because he's going to slam it down.
No, it ain't because I ain't reading it until it's on the Unlimited app. Because Daryl ain't buying it. It's too fucking expensive. I'm not buying that. I'm going to get it on the Unlimited app. I pay for the Unlimited app. I'm gonna get it that way.
Here's the problem.
I already saw the thing that everybody's bitching about. What? About it.
Oh, the Magneto thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw that. I was talking to Joe Caramagna about that. I know Joe, the anchor.
The problem I have is who's writing the main event?
Spencer, right?
Spencer, yeah. Man. I can't think of a single thing he's written that I love.
Morning Glories?
Lori, I don't know what spell they put on that book because I was buying Morning Glories and it was one of those books where, you know, when you sit there and you see it pile up and you go, why the hell am I still buying that book when I haven't picked it up since issue 5 and I'm still ordering this one. I was ordering at DCBS all the time every month. I'm like, why am I still getting this? Like, it's almost like you wake up out of a dream. Like, wait a minute. Stop it.
To retort that, Jack, who else are you going to have write a big event over there? Jason Aaron?
Yeah, there's nobody else.
Fear itself again.
I don't think Aaron wants any more after. I think after Aaron, and I think he's one of the most.
Aaron would be awesome. Aaron would be perfect.
But I think after his experience with the.
Fear itself?
No, he didn't do Fear itself. He did. That was Matt Fraction. He did. The one with the secrets and shit, where they took took Nick Fury out the
with the Watcher and who
with the Watcher and all that. I forgot the name of it, but after the experience he had with that one, I don't think he wants any more event books.
I'll tell you who I would take before Nick Spencer. I would take Jason Aaron in a heartbeat. I'd take Charles Soule in a heartbeat over Nick Spencer. I feel like I'm really digging deep now.
We got you now.
I would take Matthew Rosenberg over Nick Spencer.
Isn't he doing Kingpin or something else too?
He's doing
Kingpin.
Oh, yeah. Doing
which is, both have been great so far.
Yeah.
I think he's their next big name, but still.
I mean, they still got Latour. He can be, you know, he can stay there. It's fine.
Yeah.
I know you can make him, but.
Yeah, but Latour. I mean, Spider-Gwen. That's, I mean.
Jason Latour is from Charlotte, by the way, so don't badmouth him.
No, I'll badmouth
the shit out of him.
I know you
yeah.
will.
Yeah, I mean, Ronnie's got some stories.
The Marvel stuff, I mean, if you think about it, the Marvel stuff, the Spider-Gwen is an emperor with no clothes. Because it's like everybody fell in love with that design.
Yeah, right. Her costume.
But when you ask them, all right, what's actually happening in the book?
I don't know.
Now, that's when you get different answers for people that say that they're Spider-Gwen fans.
There's too many spider characters to begin with.
Well, there's too many books for
no,
sure.
No, there's not enough spider characters.
I know. Hater.
And Dan Slott should be writing all of them.
Oh, man.
It's the only thing he can write.
Oh, come on now.
That's success. Am I wrong?
I like
capitalize on it then.
What else has he done?
I enjoy Silver Surfer more than Amazing Spider-Man.
I'm not talking about whether you enjoy it or not. I'm not saying that. No, you gotta listen to my. This is not me getting up. This is not a fanboy thing where you're saying he sucks. That's not ever what I said. I said, what book has he done that's successful in sales? Besides Spider-Man.
Well, Spider-Man is always going to... Spider-Man is Marvel's version of Batman. Like, whoever you put on it...
I don't buy that, dude. No,
because when someone is bad on Spider-Man, it does not sell as well.
It's not going to sell as well, but it's still going to sell. Spider-Man is going to sell because of Spider-Man. Batman is going to sell... Maybe not as well as if it's doing... I mean, if you're... producing the book well, but it's still going to sell regardless. It's true.
I agree with that.
When it's not doing well, I would have to give it. Well, I remember when Reginald Hudlin was doing the book. When it's a big book that's not doing well, everybody knows it.
Here we go.
But it's amazing. Sells.
Amazing Spider-Man is a top selling Marvel book that's not a Star Wars franchise book.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We weren't arguing that.
Yeah, we knew that.
Well, I had to look at it.
I thought you were announcing something else.
I don't know. I was like, well, I was waiting.
Like, whoa.
No, I don't read it. The only thing Spider-Man I read is the events, because I do like what Dan Slott does with the events.
And he does enough. They cycle in enough events that it works. It works for Spider-Man. Like, and that's not saying I'm not against Dan Slott. I talked to him quite a few times. I bought, like, I came into it buying Mighty Avengers and all that. I enjoyed the shit out of it. But it wasn't many with me when I was buying it and talking about it. Like, it's just, he just hasn't ever had that hit
he had
with Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about Dan Slott. To be honest.
Like, yeah, I would say this. You could say, okay, Tom is on Batman. I know he's my friend, but I'm going by facts. I'm not going by friendship. Look at Tom's Batman. Take
That's
Batman.
That's not what Michael Myers said.
Take Batman. I know, right?
That was
cool. Oh, he hates Batman so much. He hates it. I think he wants to kill Tom. Take Batman off the table and just go with Grayson did well for them, and he was out of costume.
Yep.
Even the book they canceled, Omega Men, critically acclaimed, and then it went on the bestseller list. Like, when books are just not suck, they don't go on the bestseller list. This is not something where the store makes you put the book on the bestseller. It's because of the sales. Yeah. So I'm saying, and then he only did Vision. That's the only Marvel book he did.
Hey.
It's still more hype than current books that are out right now.
It gets more hype and it has higher ratings, but it didn't sell as well. Of course not.
It's Vision.
Exactly. That was my point. Vision.
What I'm saying is there's not so many books that have gotten that Dan Slott has gotten critical acclaim for too. Like there was some for the She-Hulk when he did She-Hulk. Right.
I don't even know what the hell we're arguing about anymore.
No, not even arguing. Hey,
arguing the same point.
Well, we're talking Marvel. Right. I mean, it goes with Marvel, though. But I mean, there's not, like, he hasn't proven that he could make another character book a hit.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, even Sheriff has been a hit for Vertigo. And that's right, Vertigo.
But does Dan Slott need to have another hit?
No, no comic. Listen, all you need is one hit, and that you can ride that hit as long as you want.
But he's riding Amazing Spider-Man. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
You can do whatever you want. But I'm saying, when you were talking about writers and stuff, it's hard to prove how good a writer you are if you've only been able to do. You've only played on one team, and it's the Bulls when Michael Jordan was at his peak. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. I would say Jeff Lemire at this point has more variety of successful characters than maybe even Dan Slott.
I would say Lemire's more popular from his creator own. I don't think his I know, and I don't want to get hate. I like the guy. I don't think his Marvel work is as well received as his.
Really? Except for Extraordinary X-Men, I thought Old Man Logan and Moon Knight were both really well received.
I'm talking about if you hear people talking about book comics.
And Bloodshot Reborn is like the epitome of, I mean, it's the mecca.
I said mainstream.
Yeah.
You see, I'm sticking with mainstream. What I'm saying is I think Lemire's other work.
Yeah. Well, they have not put him on anything significant.
I think Lemire's other work is more popular than his mainstream work, is what I'm saying. You don't see people, when people talk about Lemire in a positive way, they don't talk about his Marvel stuff at that much. I see the when people are talking about stuff they like from him, they bring up everything else. And then they go, I like Old Man Logan. They'll put that in there. But
that's because it's just cool for you guys not to hate on Marvel whenever you get a chance.
I knew his stuff before he even was doing any mainstream
stuff. I'm just giving you a hard time.
But
the problem is he doesn't do what he does with his indie stuff.
Right.
With his Marvel stuff.
See,
pretty much all he's doing is continuing a story. Right. So the Old Man Logan stuff is good, but it's nothing groundbreaking.
No.
The Moon Knight stuff is good. But it's stuff that we've been seeing for quite a while. The X-Men stuff, well, we just don't talk about it.
Yeah, we don't even. They don't even talk about the X-Men stuff.
I don't even know what happened with X-Men. What did he do?
He just ain't there.
I quit reading after 4.
Let me tell you.
I don't even know.
My theory with Jeff Lemire is I don't think he does team books well. Because his
you're wrong.
His character, all of his solo character books have been awesome. But X-Men was not good. What was the independent? My mind's going blank.
Black Hammer.
I thought that
you are
was
crazy.
Horrible. I love Black Hammer. I just got into that recently.
I read like 3 issues. I cannot do
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
Black Hammer's great.
Because I've been critical of the, my X-Men thing. You know how I feel about my X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And I've hated his X-Men run. And it ain't just him. I've hated all the work, the recent X-Men stories, and I've read them. I love them.
You hate everything except Claremont. Let's be real.
No. I like, let me tell you the runs that I like. I liked Whedon. I liked Claremont, of course. I liked Morrison. I like Fraction. I liked a little of Brubaker. And then it stops there. when they brought Hope home, I think that's kind of when I was tapping out, after they brought Hope home.
And they had I missed a bunch of that stuff, dude. I refused to read any of that crap.
Oh, I was so in that I read all of that and then the X-Force stuff.
The Remender X-Force?
Even
that,
before
that
Remender, I love Remender's X-Force, but even before Remender there was Yost and God damn it. He had a co-writer with him that worked on those X-Men books, the X-Force books. That run was fucking unbelievable. It was good. It ran right in to the uncanny, the X-Force stuff with Remender. All that, it was a great run. Like, it was a great, great run of X-Force stuff. Mm. I'm telling you. Check it. You should go back and get some of that.
I mean, I've got Marvel Unlimited. I might as well.
You might as well check it out. But the thing was, with the X-Force stuff, it ran into two different events. Because there was the Second Coming, which was when Hope. And before that, it was the... I forgot the name of that damn event. But I liked it. But it was a
Schism? Or Schism. Is it after?
No, it was Schism. Before. Schism was last. Schism was like before.
That's the Jason Aaron one, right?
Yeah, that was Jason Aaron, and then it led into the Bendis stuff, the all new X-Men when they brought the displaced X-Men in.
Right.
And it went all into that. But no, this was before that. It was Second Coming. It was the one where Nightcrawler got killed again. Again.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got killed again. Okay. It was basically like all their enemies were coming after him. The Reavers, the Human League. It was like a whole bunch of all their old enemies were coming back to take out the X-Men. And then you find out it was freaking Bishop was the traitor.
Yeah. Again.
Bishop was the traitor.
They blamed a black man.
God.
I think it came out on February. Yeah, they trade us.
Oh man!
See, now I have a X-Men Inhuman theory, and you guys are going to give me crap about this, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to save it. I'm going to say it anyways.
Go for it.
I think Charles Soule's X-Men have been really good,
and I do.
But hold on. Let me finish. I think a lot of these. A lot of you guys who are older X-Men fans hold on, let me finish. you're so bent out of shape that the X-Men haven't been what they used to be that you can't wrap your brain around what the Inhumans are right now.
This is like a Sean Spicer thing.
Yeah. I disagree with you because I can. There are runs of stuff that I didn't like where a character went, but like I said, I was talking to Joe Caramani about this shit too. When good runs outlast bad critiques, if you are angry about a direction of a story like Winter Soldier, they were giving Brubaker death threats. When he was bringing Bucky back, right? He was getting straight hate for that. But the story was written so well. Now people pretend everybody loved it. And I'm like, mother effers, I remember when I was reading it, you was hating. You was hating it. It was like, it couldn't work because you can't bring Bucky back. That kills the character. It changes everything. Crap. If the story's written well, people will let it go after a while. They'll hate for as long as they can, but they will let it go, and they'll love it.
Yeah.
And now everybody talks about that freaking when you mention what's your top cat book stories, that's one of the first ones. Right. Brubaker's run is the first one they throw up there, besides Grunewald.
Okay. Let me ask you about this.
Mm.
We got enough stuff now. I'm going to edit this into two podcasts. I wanted to talk about this with Ronnie on one of the podcasts, but you guys are on, so I'm going to go ahead and bring it up. The Make Mine Marvel renumbering sort of initiative.
Uh-huh.
I want to hear what you guys think about it because it's sort of like what DC did with Detective, right? They're going back to the old numbering. So, but Marvel's going to keep from what I understand, Marvel's going to keep the Marvel Now indicator for new storylines.
Right.
And I gave some DC fans like hard time at one point for saying Marvel's kind of copying DC, but in a way, you know, DC made moves that sort of appealed to their older fan base, and this is kind of sort of that same thing, right? Long-term fans kind of want this sort of stuff.
Right.
So what do y'all think about about that.
Well, I have a question. I have a question. I know they're doing this with Venom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because they're doing all, I'm assuming because of the Venomized covers.
Right.
So they're tying all that in. What other books are they doing this with?
I hope somebody has an answer. I do not know for sure.
I thought most of them were like, wasn't Thor going back to the number?
Yeah. I thought it was the main titles.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, yeah, I see it. Thor, Captain America, and Hulk.
Right, that's what I thought.
Hulk doesn't even have, well, I guess technically he kind of does, I guess.
Yeah, see,
But that ain't even Hulk. Isn't that She-Hulk? Is the Hulk?
It is She-Hulk right now.
Well, yeah, yes, but there's the totally awesome, stupid Hulk book, too.
Yeah, but I thought the She-Hulk was going to be the definitive Hulk book.
It is, yeah, because that book is just called Hulk, right?
Right, yes. It's just called Hulk,
yeah. But are they bringing back Bruce Banner?
They can't, not this early.
Not yet, but they are going to do that.
When does this happen? When does this renumbering
happen? It says this fall.
Yes, so that's a lot of time.
And Hulk already started. No, yeah. I don't think they're bringing, I don't think the Bruce and them are coming back yet. But they are doing that because I know Ed Brissom, I know him, and he was talking about he got the gig to do the Old Man Logan versus the Maestro, which is the Hulk from the future.
Oh,
right. Nice.
So that's going to be a story. And I don't know if it's going to run in their books or it's just going to be a mini series. I didn't check to see how they were going to do it.
Well, I know when Bruce Banner's coming back. When's Thor Ragnarok come out?
No, I disagree with you.
No, let me tell you when the real relaunch for Marvel is when Wolverine's coming back.
I was going to say
probably, but I mean, by then, though, when you see Wolverine coming back, the 616 Wolverine, you're going to see Steve Rogers again. You're going to see Thor will probably keep his hammer. Maybe they'll name it whatever. They, even though he has a hammer again, but it's a different hammer. It's the ultimate version. Yeah.
It's hammer. A fake hammer.
It's a fake hammer, but it's a good damn book.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both really good.
Are you reading
Tony Stark?
All three of them are.
Three?
Yeah, they make.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
There's Unworthy.
Only two.
Yeah, it's two. Mighty it's Thor Unworthy and Unworthy and, Thor.
Yeah, Mighty Thor and
okay,
Unworthy.
Okay, okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Unworthy is great.
I don't know, Jack. Maybe I should be your co-host on this podcast. Apparently I know about Marvel with you, dude.
I love me some Mighty Thor.
Yeah, I like both of those books.
So, but
I think he did.
Do you guys think the renumbering thing is a good thing, or it's just another sort of like
cheap trick? I think it means nothing. You know, my thing is, it doesn't matter how many things you do, and this goes for any company. It doesn't matter how many gimmicks you do, if your stories are not hitting with your majority of readers. They're just gonna go back down again. Doesn't matter. You could do as much of you could do the game as much as you want to do, but you're gonna wind up having to relaunch that book again.
To me, the numbering matters zero. And we've had this talk in other podcasts. Because a lot of companies like to renumber and then they'll release a mini series, but it's really a continuation of a previous arc of a regular series.
Valiant.
Listen, I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just
they're
saying
all guilty. They're all guilty.
But I mean, what does it matter? Like, do you care? I mean, I don't care. I just want to buy the book, right?
All I know is when I open it, I don't care. Like, that's what I mean by good books.
So I do sort of care because I have specific. For example, I have one of my favorite runs of all time, which you guys couldn't care less about, is Infinity Watch, Warlock and the Infinity Watch.
Okay, yeah.
Whoa. What you mean? I couldn't care. That's the good.
That is the title that got me into comics, and it's a 45 issue run. If it was hodgepodged into all these different mini series, and you got to go from this title to another title, I don't think it would be the same now. I mean, it might sell more books at the time, But in the long run, I think it messes up the storyline.
Mm. Why? What does the number have to do with the storyline?
Because I can point to that one title in the Infinity Watch and say, you know, that's my thing. That's what got me into comics. That's what's meaningful to me. But if I have to say, hey, it was Rye and 4001 and then this other title, I think that's not the same.
I mean, to me, the only difference that it makes is like for archiving purposes, right? So like, what's this Venom 150, right? So, okay. So I don't know how many volumes of Venom there are. Let's just say four. Okay. I'm just making that up. Could be more, could be less. So I already have a section of volume one, section of volume two, section of volume three, section of volume four. So now if they renumber this to 150, does that mean that I put it in volume one? Because technically it would be 150 of volume one, right?
Oh, this is getting too nerdy for me.
Well, I'm just saying that's the only reason it would matter, mm-hmm. right? Is if you're buying physical copies and you're archiving them a certain way. Right. Like you have to figure out how you want to archive it.
But my thing is, if the story's strong, doesn't matter. Like I don't care. Like Aaron's Thor's and Aaron's Doctor Strange and stuff, doesn't matter how many times they renumber it or do whatever the hell they're doing. People connect with it still because I think of the stories.
Yeah, written. I agree with you. I'm nitpicking when I say I don't like them to keep. I would rather be in one consistent long run than to be broken up. But at the same time, it's not a huge thing.
I get it. But I think what hurts them and other companies when they do it is sometimes they don't realize it's not the numbering that turned people off. Sometimes it is the story.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. It is. I mean, sometimes it is just the story's not hitting with them. And you can't make people. Because I gotta admit, they're funneling like Captain America should be the top 10 book, right, for Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is about this Captain America book, right? Everything that's going on, they keep telling us, the readers, that the important things are happening in the Captain America book. And it's telling that yet and still, those are not the books that are hitting.
Those are the top 10. That's not the best book.
Right. It that's saying something to you, even though you keep telling us that that's the important book to read.
Right. So so this goes back to the renumbering thing for me, because my opinion is more than just renumbering. I want the flagship books back. I want a traditional, like, Fantastic Four book again, and our Avengers, and
it's coming.
And I want fewer of this, like, ripping up teams into solo books and mixing them with other teams.
That's not stopping. You are going to get a rebirth like Marvel thing. They are going to hire people to come in and relaunch like Fantastic Four, Wolverine, like they're probably Avengers. You are going to get that. It's because they do see, I mean, even if they don't admit it, they do see that they have turned off some of their Marvel only people. I'm not talking about people that do both or people that are not in, like, I'm talking about Marvel people that just are Marvel fans and buy Marvel comics. Sure. They have turned some of them off, and they acknowledge it because they are going to kind of do their little, do their thing to kind of bring them back, because that's what DC had to do. They turned a lot of DC fans away with DC 52, and they had to dig back into that continuity and to bring people back.
And now they've got a lot of that back.
Yeah, so they have to do it. You have.
Well, I mean, I don't understand how the Fantastic Four are the. I mean, that's the grandfathers of the Marvel universe.
How
could you remove them entirely from the picture and not know that that would upset people.
Well, I know why they did it, and it's not just because they didn't own it. It's also because the book never sold but more than a certain amount of copies, even right. with even if the run, like Hickman's run, was the last run that
right.
I would say was heavily favored or critically liked. But right. you look at the numbers on that book, and it still stayed the same. Yeah,
really?
You can check and check those books. It still sold about the same, no matter what.
See, but at this point, does it matter when books are only doing 30,000, 40,000?
Well, now copies? We're up to this point. No, when that's probably why Fantastic Four will be back. But I think when they did it originally, they didn't. They figured, you know, we can do other stuff. And
now, see, my theory was that it had more to do with the movie rights. That they were writing off the Fantastic Four because they can't put them in their movies.
Yeah, but they would only do that if the numbers also supported it. Like if
would they? Because yeah. Let's be honest, the Marvel movies make profit way more than the comics mm-hmm. ever will even consider.
Let me tell you something. 60,000 copies. If Fantastic Four was doing 60,000 copies number in their book, mm-hmm. we'd still have a Fantastic Four book right now. But when you go to, I think when James Robinson was doing it, I think it had even dipped down to, I think it was under 40. Mm-hmm. Or it could have been even a little bit lower.
Oh, hold on.
When it got to that point.
Here's what I say. Here's what I'm saying. If you think about mm-hmm. the books that seem like they're getting the snub from Marvel, it mm-hmm. seems like it's the books that they do not have the movie rights to. It's the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. It's the X-Men. Which, it's hard to imagine a Marvel universe where the Fantastic Four and the X-Men are not at the forefront of it. But they're not right now at all. And I have a hard time believing that doesn't have something to do with the movie rights.
But I would still say, though, if it still was selling at a number that they were comfortable with, that they liked, that they would just suck it up and keep the book going. Like when they even had Bendis on that book on X-Men, and he's one of their most popular writers.
Terrible. Bendis sucks.
I'm not fighting with you, but what I'm saying is I'm not arguing.
I don't think Bendis sucks.
I'm not arguing either whether he sucks or not. I'm just saying.
He sucks.
I think he's cliche. I think he's mediocre, and he's always he's never great, he's never bad. It's like you read a Bendis book, you know what you're getting. You're not going to love it, you're not going to hate it. That's my opinion.
But he's still one of the most popular ones when it comes to the orders on the books.
Because is he doing anything other than Jessica Jones right now?
Oh, he's doing everything.
Oh, yeah.
Is he?
He's got Defenders coming up, which is going to reflect the Netflix.
I feel Defenders. Like every new major Marvel title, if there's a 50-50 shot, Bendis is writing it.
He does He seems to do all the movie stuff. If they want to adapt something from the TV or the movies, he seems to be the writer that does it.
Oh, for sure. He's like their go-to guy right now.
Right. He seems to be their go-to for doing that kind of stuff. Like, oh, we want a Defender. We want a book that's not really Defenders. It ain't going to be no Doctor Strange and Hulk and you know, all that in it. But we want the Netflix Defenders. Boom. Dude, we want, you know. He writes I think he writes books. I don't want to say it.
He's doing both of the Iron Man books.
He writes easy.
He's doing the Spider the Miles Morales comic.
Well, he's always been doing that. Like, that's his thing. Yeah. That's his character. So.
All right, so he writes everything I don't care to read. That's cool.
He does it. I think.
The two Iron Man books are good, though. In my opinion. I don't know.
I think Mike would probably yell at me, but I think Bendis does easy. He doesn't take chances.
I totally agree.
Now, you can say you don't like Tom's books, which is fine. You can't argue whether you're enjoying it or not. You can't say that he doesn't try things. You can say, true. I don't like it.
I will give you that.
And my go-to in likes, I like, which is probably why I like Morrison and, you know, Hickman, stuff like that. even when they strike out, they still always try.
Right.
Like, I don't want you to write down. I don't want just easy, and I don't want it to be just, don't just throw shit on there to make it accessible for everybody, and you're not going to do a compelling story. Try. At least try, and I will more times than not,
right,
like it.
And that's, you know, why that? when I see a new Marvel title and has Bendis on it, I don't get excited.
He's not going to try. He's not going to go for any type of thing. Like that Civil War, it was just, it's just so easy. Like even with Nick Spencer, Captain America,
it was a good looking book though.
He always gets the art. It's they have some of the best artists, but it doesn't matter. I don't need Captain America to sound like Trump, and I don't need Captain Marvel to read just like Hillary Clinton. And I watch TV already. I watch the news.
Yeah.
I see that stuff. I don't need you to just repeat that shit in the book. Like now if you can, like the good, like stuff I want to read is if you could incorporate real world stuff in it and messages in it, but I have to read it to get it. Not where I just look at it and I know exactly. I heard this in CNN. I heard that on MSNBC. Fox News did it. I just saw somebody angry on Facebook about them saying the same exact thing. Don't repeat shit you saw on there, but write a compelling thing. Like when he tried to come out and say what they were going to do with when the big reveal with Cap was going to be a big surprise. No one's going to get it. Yeah, I'm saying I'm going with Nick Spencer. I'm talking about Nick Spencer right now. When he said it was a big surprise, nobody was going to get it. First thing I thought was, well, it couldn't be the Cosmic Cube, because that's the first thing you think, right? It couldn't be the Cosmic Cube. And then we finally get the reveal, right? And it's the freaking Cosmic Cube. And I'm like, how are you patting yourself on the back, saying how compelling and well written the story was? Because he basically patted himself on the back with that, because the sales were so high.
Right.
Yeah, they were high because they thought something new and different was going to happen, and we wanted to know what it was going to be. You just did the Cosmic Cube.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, and Bendis does similar things like that. Easy. It's like, it's because it's easy. It'll bring people in. It won't challenge anybody. It's, you know.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is already projected to make $160 million opening weekend.
Oh, I bet it will. It'll probably make more than that.
Did we get final numbers for Logan yet?
So far, it's the box office so far is 305, but I don't think it's not everywhere yet, though, right? It's just the United States, isn't it?
Yeah, just U.S.
And Berlin.
Yeah.
In Berlin. So it's still opening. I mean, it's still opening in places, so you have to wait. I don't know why they just don't open the shit all at one time all over. I don't know what the big deal is. It is stupid because they're going to pirate it either way.
I heard it's not going to be in Japan till like June.
Yeah, that's the silly shit they do. Sweden doesn't get some stuff. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's weird, man. I don't know what the big deal is.
It's because they're socialists. They can't get movies on time.
It's crazy. it's a crazy thing. And sometimes they'll do it overseas before it comes here. Some of the Marvel movies, I think, was released overseas before it came here.
Yeah,
that's true.
I think Winter Soldier, and I think Cap too.
Now, you weren't a fan of Guardians of the Galaxy, right? The first one.
No, Guardians, I think, was the same thing with writing it easy, doing an easy movie, which brought it will bring in the most numbers, but it's just not something I liked. I didn't care.
I like being able to go to a movie and just sit back and like have a good time, laugh, enjoy some action. It doesn't have to be heavy mental processing for me every.
Oh, I'm not asking time. For Shakespeare. I'm not asking.
I am.
But I just think it was such a dumbed down plot to me. It's just not it's not the characters that I read that I liked. That kind of characterization was just not what I dug.
What are you talking about? Like
Star-Lord.
Lanning. Are you talking about the Lanning? Drax. The Lanning run?
Hmm? Yeah, Lanning. And even before that, like I was reading it for quite a long. I read Guardians when they were
before this team.
Before this team, when it was the different everybody from a different planet. So when I saw Yondu like that, I was like, oh, that's not Yondu to me. But I know why they did it, and it worked. And of course, you're going to repeat. You get your check. But you can't tell me that, like, for anybody who tries to argue or say this was like, you know, like if I hear fun one more time to describe how great the story is, that's not telling me how great the story is. You're just saying you have fun watching it.
That tells you how great the...
Which is valid. You have fun watching it. That's cool. There's no argument for that. But that's not telling me that it's such a compelling story. You just liked it.
For me, a movie is about the experience. But to be honest, I do not nitpick the way a lot of like heavy movie critics do.
That depends on what it is. I don't nitpick it like to death because Suicide Squad. I liked it, and I never go into it and argue Suicide Squad or Superman, Batman versus Batman was perfect because it wasn't. All I go by is did I enjoy it.
So did you enjoy Suicide Squad more than Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes, much. yes. Much, much more.
I don't know where to go from there.
Because I can read, I can tell you, read Suicide Squad, the original run, like just read the first arc and watch that movie and then read Lanning's, the first six issues of the Lanning, because that was the first when they brought that team together, really, after the war, and read the first six issues of that. And watch the film and tell me which is closer to the comics.
Yeah. What bugs me is I want to see Adam Warlock in the Marvel Universe. And I don't know if that's going to happen.
Me too. I'm with you on that. You're preaching to the choir. I was a fan of Adam Warlock and the whole church of... You know, he had to deal with that threat from the church and the way that he deals with Thanos and all that kind of stuff. It's, that's the stuff I liked. So, I'm with it.
So, what do you say we wrap this up, guys?
What do they reach us at?
You can find everybody at Jack Sullivan, at Robot316, at TheVoice123, at Geekvine, at Ultimate Marvel Pod.
Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw.
Marvel is not on. The Unlimited app is not on Kindle because it's connected with Amazon.
Oh, snap. Somebody's in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Divorce time.
That's when you hit a bell. Didn't I tell you get your in this room right here?
This episode of the Ultimate Marvel Podcast, sponsored by your favorite divorce lawyer. Call him at 1-888.
All right, I'm out. Good talking to you guys.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye.